This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome. It took a whole year, but yesterday the Federal Ethics Commissioner found that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau violated conflict of interest rules over his family vacation last Christmas to a private island in the Bahamas owned by the Aga Khan. Not only did Trudeau and his family vacation at the Aga Khan's residence last Christmas, they also traveled to the private island for another Christmas holiday back in 2014, and Trudeau's wife Sophie took a separate vacation there in March 2016. Mary Dawson actually found that Trudeau violated four sections of the Conflict of Interest Code by not recusing himself from two meetings about the Aga Khan, by accepting a private helicopter ride, and because of that trip his wife and kids made. Now, throughout the investigation, he kept saying he didn't think there was a problem because the Aga Khan was a close family friend. Dawson disagreed, given that they hadn't actually spoken for 30 years. Trudeau has apologized, but seems to be boiling it all down to getting advance clearance for his family holidays.
Moving forward, even on people I consider to be family friends or friends, I will be proactively checking with the commissioner on any personal travel and vacations.
Okay, well, stumbling over that apology, people all over Twitter are demanding his resignation. What do you think? How serious is this? And should he have more consequences aside from the embarrassment? The numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And right now, let's go to Pierre Poilievre, who is the conservative finance critic. Hello.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. Well, what do you think? How serious is this?
Well, let's ask why we have these rules in the first place. We have them to ensure that no prime minister is influenced in his decisions by valuable gifts provided by people who want something from the government. So if you're a prime minister, you have vast powers to help or hinder many people. You have access to $330 billion of spending. You passed regulations. You determine who gets visitor visas to the country. You set trade arrangements that affect companies. So all of these economic interests, personal financial interests, are affected by decisions of the prime minister. We don't want, therefore, his decisions to be influenced by the gifts he might receive from those wealthy interests. And that is why we passed into law the Conflict of Interest Act. The Prime Minister, in this case, accepted a gift that was worth tens of thousands of dollars from someone who had business with the Prime Minister's government. It was a clear and direct conflict of interest. And it also, more broadly, shows this Prime Minister is governing for the wealthy elite, those who are capable of lavishing him with valuable gifts that most Canadians can't even dream of affording.
That's true. Does it make any difference that I think most people would agree the Aga Khan is a good guy? He has an enormous charitable network that's very effective. I mean, some of his businesses are for profit. Does that make any difference?
No, not at all. The reality is that in this instance, he appears to have had a business with the government of Canada. I'm not commenting on the merits of that business, but his foundation has interactions with the government of Canada. The prime minister is ahead of that government, and therefore it was completely inappropriate for the prime minister to accept what would have amounted to thousands of dollars of worth of gifts in the form of this luxurious private island vacation.
Do you believe that he didn't get there, that there would be any problem with this because he considered the Aga Khan a close family friend? Do you believe that?
Well, I suppose you'd have to believe that this is that yesterday Justin Trudeau was sharing a heartwarming Christmas time story of reuniting with a cherished friend he'd not seen for 30 years. I find that a little bit implausible. If you're a close personal friend of mine, I probably would speak to you in the last three decades. He hadn't. That's a fact that, by the way, he had not told the public over the last year this controversy has raged.
And we didn't know about the trip that Sophie and the kids took and that they asked for.
That's right. The reality is that, the Prime Minister treated himself and his friends, not just his family, but his friends, to tens of thousands of dollars worth of free vacation benefits from someone who had interests in the government of Canada. That is so obviously inappropriate that I can't believe the Prime Minister would not have realized it, unless, of course, he just thinks he's above all the rules. He's an international celebrity. He was his father gave him a trust fund. There's a sense that the rules don't apply to Justin Trudeau because he's special and different than everyone else, and maybe he sees it that way.
Well, I mean, my thought is, whether you like him or not, he is an international celebrity. So why should we be surprised when he behaves like one?
Right, and I think maybe maybe that is his underlying message here. Is look, I don't have to follow any of these rules because I'm Justin Trudeau and I'm special. I've always been special. I was the son of a famous prime minister. I'm a millionaire. I've inherited a trust fund. I was raised with having a chauffeur and driver, and so the rules that everyday people have to follow in their lives, be they a truck driver or a stay-at-home mom, they don't apply to Justin Trudeau because he's special and different.
I want to get to the phones, but before we do that, Pierre, are you satisfied with this consequence, or what do you think the consequence should be? And is it overblown? A lot of people are saying he needs to resign over this. Is that overblown or correct? What's your take on that?
There are a lot more questions. Look, this trip cost taxpayers $250,000. Now, everyone agrees the Prime Minister, as everyone else, should have the right to a vacation, and there should be security to protect him and his family. But now that we know that he broke the law, is it really appropriate that he's forcing taxpayers to fund it all? I think that we need to ask serious questions about whether he should repay the cost to taxpayers of this law-breaking adventure. And to undo the ethical damage, there's only one remedy, and that is for him to pay the Aga Khan back the commercial value of that trip. If you or I were to rent a private island and all of the servants and other luxuries and privileges of that island, we would pay tens of thousands of dollars for that benefit. Justin Trudeau has got it for free. The only way to fix that is for him to stroke a check and pay back the money to the Aga Khan, so there is no illegal gift on the ledger.
Okay, so let's take a few calls, but I'm gathering from that, Pierre, that you don't think he has to step down over this.
I'm not commenting on that. I'm saying that he should, at the very least, should pay back taxpayers and the Aga Khan for the costs of this law-breaking adventure.
Okay, let's hear from Pat in Etobicoke. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I'd like to say that I think not only Trudeau, but Duffy and all the other people that say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I think we should make all of the women and men that are going to be in that any kind of power like that to be tested, to know, to say, yes, I do know this, and to sign it even before they get the privilege of doing what Trudeau thinks he can do.
Like a little ethics exam.
Yeah, darn okay. It all. I mean, because it's time and time and time again. I mean, this isn't the first time, and it's going to continue.
Okay, well, that's a thought, an ethics exam for everyone. Thanks, Pat.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Bill here in Toronto. Hello, Bill.
Hi. It was interesting when you used the word Trudeau and celebrity in the same sentence. You know, I voted for Trudeau. I didn't vote for Beeper. So that's, I want a politician. I don't want a celebrity. But it, a four-day vacation took 360 days. To figure out.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. Yes.
Oh, it is. It absolutely astounds me. For a government that ran on openness, transparency, all the never-ending talking points that they put out about how better that they are than Harper was, and this is what we get from them. I'm sadly, sadly disappointed.
Okay, and what do you think the remedy should be?
You know, honestly, the remedy, I look at it and I think what we should get is qualified people elected to govern us. We get the worst of the worst. And I look at, like, Glenn Thibault, the Ontario Minister of Energy. These people are not qualified to be there. And they get there, and they, what do? They get into the trough. That's all they're good for.
Okay, Bill, thanks a lot. Pierre, do you have anything to say about the amount of time it took for this investigation to be completed?
Well, I'd like to know if Justin Trudeau cooperated with the investigation. He seemed to think that it was that he shouldn't face any questions about the expensive gifts that he gets from people who have dealings with the government. We asked him in the floor of the House of Commons one day alone. We asked him about 20 times in a row if he had met with the ethics commissioner. And 20 times he simply refused to answer that question. It makes me wonder if throughout this investigation he has been dodging and avoiding the commissioner and delaying the outcome of this inquest. Certainly it's very convenient for him that it happened after the House of Commons closed down so that he wouldn't be forced to answer any questions about it for, 4 or 5 weeks.
And, first let's take a call from David in Toronto. Hi, David.
Hi, Libby.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems like you have a lot of intelligent responses, people phoning in. My take is he should resign and pay back the money. I'm a conservative supporter. Mm-hmm. I think Harper is probably the best prime minister Canada ever had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And at the very end, obviously, sometimes I feel like you're dealing with a criminal organization when it comes to the government.
Oh, well, come on.
Because if you were one of those facts, I mean, when the voters go to vote again, they can make a decision. But by then, they'll all forget about it. Because don't forget, at the end of the day, there was Brian Mulroney taking $300,000 in cash in a hotel room.
Well, that's not
for the Airbus thing, and whatever happened to him? Nothing happens to these guys. You know, they got complete immunity. They do whatever they want. We need leaders who have integrity, and that's what's missing. You know, they're almost like, when I say a criminal organization, look at all the things that they do that regular Canadians like myself, at least I don't do. I don't have numbered companies, secret bank accounts in Panama paradise that, you know, Trudeau takes the word of billionaire donors and stuff like that. Like, I mean, next time I do my income taxes, hopefully they'll take my word. I won't send any receipts in. You know, I'm a regular guy and I pay my taxes.
Just to clarify, all that paradise, those paradise papers things, it was clear that the people they cited weren't actually doing anything illegal. So if there's a problem with what they're doing, we have to change the law.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what it seems like. They know the law. And sometimes it's a gray area because you know, these numbered companies, like Trudeau's got several, I've heard four numbered companies that, you know, the Globe and Mail is trying to investigate to see what's going on, and they can't find it. They can't get information. To me, I figure if you got a numbered company, either you're trying to minimize your taxes.
I think that's a bit excessive. David, thanks for your call. Pierre, where do you think this is going to go, if anywhere?
I think when the House of Commons returns, we'll seek more facts from the Prime Minister. We'll examine what other remedies we think should apply to solve the outstanding ethical problems that remain from this law-breaking adventure, and we'll continue to press the Prime Minister for accountability and answers.
Okay, Pierre, we're going to say goodbye to you. Thank you for being with us, and we are going to bring in the pollster, Nick Nanos. Hi, Nick.
Thank
Great
you.
To join you.
Okay. So, Nick, can you tell yet if there is going to be any fallout from this?
Well, we'll need a few days. It's kind of, you know, politics is a bit like, polling in politics is a bit like Christmas dinner. It takes a while to digest the turkey.
I like it that you're laughing at your own joke, but it's pretty good.
So, you know, I would expect, you know, the interesting thing about this particular controversy is that, you know, not only is it not good news for the Prime Minister and the Liberal Party of Canada, the timing couldn't be worse. And people think that because it's the holiday season that perhaps the Liberals will get a bye. In my experience, when we're polling, the numbers actually move during holidays, right? When it's Thanksgiving holiday, when it's like over the Christmas season, Easter, all those holidays, because Canadians get together and, you know, after the first hour of catching up and exchanging niceties about, you know, how the kids are and work and all those things, they start talking about politics. And, you know, that's why I say, you know, this is probably going to be when Canadians start having their chit-chat over the holiday season, this is probably going to be at the very top of the list. So I would expect it would take about a week or so to see what type of impact that I could have. But, you know, the timing isn't good, plus the fact that it directly involves the Prime Minister is more likely to move the numbers than when a cabinet minister is dealing with a controversy.
You know, it's interesting, was it a week or this week or last week, I can't remember, where we saw another poll that put Justin Trudeau's personal popularity below 50% for the first time.
Yeah, I know, but 50% is a massive win for the Liberals. Like, we have to keep this into context. His popularity has been exceptionally high. You know, if the Liberals are at 40, you know, if his popularity drops to 40%, he still wins a majority government. So we have to be very careful when we look at some of these headlines about his stuff being at an all-time low, because that all-time low, Andrew Scheer would kill for Justin Trudeau's all-time low, because, you know, it still speaks to a certain level of brand strength for Justin Trudeau and the Liberals.
Okay. And what about this in addition to, do you have any sense of how much of the Morneau conflict of interest issues are going to stick?
Well, they're going to probably stick a little more now because of now the controversy directly swirling around the Prime Minister. You know, usually what happens is when a government has a problem, you know, people take note of it. But when they see a second problem, then they take more of an interest. And I think what the Liberals have to watch out for is an accumulation effect, that there was one kind of lapse in judgment related to ethics by the Minister of Finance and how he was managing and kind of reported his finances. Now there's a second lapse in judgment, according to the Ethics Commissioner, for the Prime Minister. And, you know, usually governments can get away with one misstep, but when you start, you know, having multiple missteps, and, you know, if anything else happens, especially if anything else related to the Prime Minister happens, the numbers could move quite quickly because, you know, from a polling perspective, people see the Liberals having the advantage, but people tend to project that these are solid numbers. They're not solid numbers. It just happens to be that the Liberals have the advantage because people are not focused on the Conservatives and the New Democrats. You know, we saw at the height of the Morneau controversy, the gap between the Liberals and the Conservatives narrow to about 3 percentage points. And that wasn't even the Prime Minister. So it's going to be interesting to see how the numbers change over the next couple of weeks as Canadians kind of digest what has just happened in the last day in regards to the Prime Minister, and as Canadians make their own judgment on how they feel about what the Prime Minister did in the past.
Okay, Nick, let's take a few more calls. We've got John in Brampton. Hi, John.
Yes, hi, Libby.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just wondering, why do we need an ethics commissioner? When we vote these people in, we would expect that they have at least reasonable intelligence, that they at the very least no right from wrong. But apparently, well, that's not the case. Reminds me of that old, you know, Seinfeld episode where George gets fired for having sex with the cleaning lady in his office. And when he's caught and he's fired, he says, with all sincerity, was that wrong?
Well, I don't know about the Seinfeld episode, but it's amazing to me that he wouldn't have even thought that, you know, there's conflict and there's the appearance of conflict. Yes. And when you're in a public role, you have to be aware of how things look and not to think that this could look very bad on you. I don't know how it's possible to miss that. Well, thanks. Yes. Thanks, John. Let's go to Margaret in Kitchener. Hi, Margaret.
Well, hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know where to start here. I'm confused today. I voted him in on his ethics, and I could just cry like a mother when I... He can't be that stupid. He must have known something. And now I look upon him as a little brat that needs to be taken in the back shed or something. Because I truly thought he had ethics and was honest and forthcoming and everything a mother would want in a child, because he's the age that he could be one of my kids.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing I don't get, if he hadn't seen the Aga Khan in all those years, I mean, why would you want to accept something that valuable? I mean, wouldn't you feel odd about it? I mean, really?
He went for the kids.
Yeah, he can afford it. Okay. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, so hang on a minute while I get my radio back on.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's go to Tony in Niagara. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
Good. Well, I was totally against this trip going out there, but I don't think people understand, a normal person in Canada understands exactly what the Conservatives are trying to say. Who else was there with him? What was he really doing there? Like, I heard there was... a lot of his people from the cabinet there.
Like, I don't think so. It was a family vacation. Tony, I know you like conspiracy theories, but...
yeah, I do,
thanks,
and I believe in them.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Dorothy in Toronto. Why is Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Libby. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very busy. It's Christmas, and I'm very busy, and I just think it's horrible that they're bringing this back up a year later. I know he shouldn't have spent a lot of money with a big jet, because Canada can't really afford that. However, it was his holiday with his three children and his wife a year ago. Why they're picking on him so much, I'm just so sick of everyone picking on young Justin Trudeau.
You don't think he was in conflict? He was wrong to accept this huge trip from the Aga Khan?
Did he know that, though? Because he was a friend of his father. The man he visited was a great friend of his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau. And did he know that he was doing that? Didn't his advisors tell him that he shouldn't do this?
Well, that's a very good question, because I've seen some commentary of people say they can't believe that someone did not advise him that this could be a problem. But Dorothy...
Exactly. They just want to pick on him like they're doing to Donald Trump, and it's just ridiculous.
Okay, Dorothy, thank you for that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Nick, just to wrap things up on this, where do you think we're at? Do you think this, you know, are people going to remember this?
Oh, I think people are going to remember it, not just because of who it was. It involved the Prime Minister. It's a head-scratcher because, you know, Justin Trudeau is politically savvy. His father was Prime Minister. He knows how unfair public opinion can be in terms of the optics, and that's why, you know, to your comment, it's a head-scratcher. How didn't he not see that this was an issue? How did the people around him not see that it was an issue? And so that's the extra dimension, that it's just kind of the lapse in judgment. And, you know, as soon as people start questioning, it's like life. As soon as people question your first lapse in judgment, then they start focusing on a lot of other things, and I think that's the risk for the Liberals.
Okay. Interesting take. Nick Nanos, thank you so much for joining us, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Okay. And people, I'm sorry we couldn't get to all your calls. Tomorrow is Free for All Friday. Please call back. I would really like to continue this conversation, because clearly this is something that people have things they want to say about. So tomorrow, Free for All Friday, we will pick up this conversation. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our trusted contributor from the Ontario Pharmacists Association. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.